The May 2011 edition of the American Journal of Bioethics focuses on social issues and research, why social context matters for ethical research design, and if institutional review boards cannot assess the social implications of research, then someone must. Joining us now on the Bioethics Channel is Summer McGee. Summer, you wear many professional hats, but for the purpose of this podcast, you are the executive editor of the American Journal of Bioethics. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Laura.
Why this topic of social issues in research? Have we had some kind of critical mass of thinking around this particular topic?
Well, it's interesting. This thematic issue, which we usually don't do in a job, came about really because we had two outstanding articles submitted to the journal at about the same time. And so you raise a very interesting question about whether or not this is an issue that is beginning to percolate within the bioethics community. But I think that, interestingly enough, this was a question that was raised almost 10 years ago by the National Bioethics Advisory Commission, which was created under President Clinton, looking at how human research protections might be changed. And this question about the social risks involved in research was something that they brought up even then. So what's interesting is that it's been about a decade since that report was written, and it's just now that a number of researchers are beginning to catch on to this idea that perhaps we're not doing a good enough job dealing with the social implications of research.
Let's define it a little bit. What are we talking about when we talk about social implications of research?
It's a number of different things, but I think the simplest way to explain it is that when you're conducting research involving human beings, there are often many ancillary consequences or side effects of conducting that research that impacts the person, not in terms of their health or even their own personal psychological well-being, but in fact affects them as a social human being within a community, within a particular culture. And so as we think about doing research in communities related to HIV prevention and control, for example, or if we think about other kinds of research where there is the potential for stigmatization, as in the case with genetic population-based screening research, we have not yet been that attentive to what are the downstream implications for both the people participating in research and also the communities that they represent in regard to what will these research findings mean for the people who live in those communities? Will it result in stigmatization? Will it result in some kind of changed thinking and interaction within the medical profession because of the results that have been found in research? So really what the social risks in research means is that we have to take a broader look at what some of the risks and benefits are in conducting human subjects research.
What particular points of view did some of the writers take then on that question?
Well, I think that between the two target articles, they have addressed a wide range of important issues. I think that the first one is, which is true across both the articles, is that IRBs and also researchers themselves don't often think about the social context in which research is done and therefore don't include in their risk-benefit analyses enough attention to what are some of the social outcomes that may be either good or bad as a result of conducting research. I think that they also raised important questions about, can some of these social consequences be mitigated, or are they simply just the realities of conducting certain types of research studies that are socially controversial or that certain populations may not want to have the results that come out of research disseminated and shared with the public. So I think that where these two papers come out is that one is really a raising of the flag that this is something we need to be paying greater attention to. And then the other paper by Fleischman et al. Really puts forward a very provocative notion about how, in fact, institutional review boards cannot, in many cases, consider the social implications of research. And so if they can't, then somebody must. And so that's really what these two articles are putting forward.
So let's talk about one of those target articles then, this one entitled Dealing with the Long-Term Social Implications of Research. What are the issues that they address in that particular article then?
They really are raising the fact that this research has not yet been fully understood, particularly kinds of social research, and that really what we need to do is take a good hard look at whether, when we understand risks and benefits, that social considerations have to be taken into account. And they, and according to the research regulations and how IRBs work this day and age, they really aren't. That's something that's outside the scope of IRB review. And so they really put forward a call that this is something that IRBs need to deal with, and maybe even before the protocol gets to the IRB, that researchers need to be thinking about and anticipating how to mitigate some of those social consequences.
Federal regulations are involved with this as well that kind of delay the process, at least to some degree, or stop it altogether.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things put forward in the Fleischman paper is this notion that if IRBs can't do it, then somebody else must. And their proposal, which I believe is rather provocative, is the idea that there would be a federal or national advisory committee that would be in charge of reviewing the certain categories of research that we know tend to have serious social implications or consequences. And so this would be not dislike the recombinant DNA advisory committee, which was created to deal with a very particular type of research, which involved the manipulation of DNA, and other types of advisory bodies at the federal level that have been put forward as a model for when you have a very special research ethics concern, that sometimes you really need the best experts in the country to pull those protocols aside and look at them very carefully to ensure the people participating in research are not going to be harmed and that those consequences can be mitigated. And so their proposal is that if IRBs can't do it or aren't doing it, then some kind of national advisory body needs to. And what I think has been the most provocative part of that is that they suggested that, in fact, the review body would actually review the protocols. And I think that perhaps what might be a slightly less provocative solution would be that that review body would set up guidelines and guidance so that IRBs might be able to take some of those things into account, or to guide researchers into how to deal with some of these social implications and research. I think that having a mega or national IRB that is looking at socially contentious research is something that has met with it, both in the AJOB target article and in the last decade since the NBAC report was written, has met with a lot of resistance.
It seems like they're trying to approach and achieve good things around sustainability, independence, diverse and relevant expertise, public transparency. Those are all good things, but hard to achieve.
They are hard to achieve. And I think that, again, the concern from the research community, even from those who serve on IRBs, is that the whole basis of our research ethics system in the United States is that review of protocols needs to be local. It's done at the institutional level. And that if we take certain categories of research protocols and say that they are exceptional and carve them out and have a national review board review them, even if you have the most transparent and most diverse panel representing all disciplines and fields, you still could have problems because you're essentially setting that research apart and saying this research is so concerning to us that it requires this extra review. And I think that what we might want to think about in terms of an approach is to say, well, how could we get IRBs to do this kind of work better? And how can we perhaps either change the federal regulations or change how IRBs think so that they could do it at this institutional level rather than taking it to the national scene?
So in your opinion, then, this group of articles, how will this move the needle? How will this advance the thinking, the discussion on this particular topic?
I think the sheer fact that we at the Journal had within the same six-month period, two articles, both dealing with social implications of research, suggests to me that this is something that the bioethics community ought to be concerned with and probably will be concerned with in the coming years. And I think that what this set of articles really says is that we are now acknowledging that this is a topic that has not been well addressed by the research ethics community, and it's time that we begin to think of imaginative new ways that we might address the fact that we know that there is research that is going on every single day that has dramatic social implications for those who participate and for their communities. And in most cases, that's something that doesn't even come onto the radar screen until after the research is done and it's become a problem, or until a research subject expresses concern about, well, what would this mean for my family, or what will this mean for my community? And so I think what this really is it's a sentinel, a set of articles that says it's time for us to refine and improve our thinking about how we think about social risks in research. And I hope that there will be many articles to come that talk about what's been presented here and present new ways of dealing with what is a very important issue for research ethics.
A new feature in AJOB, trending. Talk about that.
So at the American Journal of Bioethics, we decided a couple of months ago that, as we all know, there are rapidly emerging topics in bioethics that come onto the radar screen very quickly, and sometimes they fade away and sometimes they don't. So in response to that, we wanted to have a column that would be essentially a rapid response column. It would be something where short pieces, usually not longer than a commentary, would be written talking about current issues of the day. And the idea would be, and thus the name Trending, that this would be a column that would attempt to track some of the trends in bioethics and some of the really current issues that are being debated within the field, and that this would be a monthly column that would take a look at a particular issue, and hopefully it might be a springboard for future target articles or for discourse in the field. But we are very excited about this column, and I think that it presents a great opportunity for what isn't often easy to do in the publishing world, which is to quickly respond to rapidly evolving issues in the field of bioethics and science and medicine.
Summer McGee is the executive editor of the American Journal of Bioethics. For more information on the May 2011 issue, visit bioethics.net. That's bioethics.net. I'm Laurel LeBoux. Thanks for listening to the Bioethics Channel.